I love when we ask for things and then get them, and they're a little unexpected. And today was one of those things. So thank you, adults. I thought about going down, too. Thank you, adults, for teaching us that God surprises us with blessings. Here's a story that I love from the book of Acts. It was actually part of last week's lectionary reading, and I bring it to us today. Our sermon is about the Old Testament, but I love this story because it's another story about the gifts that God brings to us. Book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. This is just after the Pentecost event. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. A man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me for one moment, please. Thank you for your word, Lord God, and for your surprising blessings. Open to us now your word. Open to us our hearts to hear your word, that we may hear and know and do your word and your will for us in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it was about a year and a half ago. It was definitely getting toward the end of my very first summer here in Elmira, and I was given a pint jar of pickles, that little two-cup jar about this big. Now, I already knew that Jeff and Pat's homemade pickles, I believe they're bread and butters. Am I right about that? Where's Pat hiding? Yeah. That those bread and butter pickles were delicious, as do most of you. What I did not know was that this particular little jar was very important. It was going to change my ministry. A jar of pickles changed my ministry, but it did. Cindy gave me that jar of pickles, and you've heard this story twice now. And I was very glad to have it. Later that fall, just maybe a month later, during our stewardship campaign, she told us a terrific story. She gave away her only jar of pickles. I'm pretty sure I did not know that at the time. Her only jar of pickles, something that she and Kurt love and look forward to every year. She did not know, when she gave them to me, if she was going to get more pickles or not. For all she knew, that was the last of the pickles. But she gave them away, nevertheless, gladly. Now, as you may remember, because you've heard this story twice, when she asked the Richards if there were any pickles left, she received from them a quart jar. Cindy gave away a pint of pickles and received double in return. Blessings abound was the lesson of that, obviously enough. And Cindy went on to give another gift, this one to all of us. And that gift is the single best stewardship illustration I have ever heard, and I've heard hundreds. I was given a little jar of yummy pickles, and I think it didn't take me more than a week to eat them all, but I did not realize until just recently how important those pickles were. And so I have a confession to make to you folks this morning. I confess to you that I have been hoarding my pickles. Yeah? A wonderful gift was given to me, and I'm not talking about the pint jar of pickles. A wonderful gift was given to me decades before Cindy's gift, and I have never shared that gift. And that's what I mean by hoarding my pickles. I have never once in my ministry shared from the pulpit the countless blessings that I have received by being a tither, from giving 10% of my income to my church. I have mentioned tithing in every stewardship season at every church I've served, including this one. I've mentioned it as an option for giving. You can do this if you want. But I have never preached about giving, about tithing directly. Nor have I invited a congregation to tithe. Nor have I ever once, until this very moment, told a congregation that I tithe. It's like it was a secret or something. I'm more scared right now to talk to you about tithing than I ever was to actually tithe. It's harder to talk about it than it is to do it, for me at least. But I got a gentle nudge from our chair of stewardship, and I knew she was right, and here I am today, taking a big swallow and talking about something that's always been uncomfortable for me. My journey toward tithing began in college. My friends and I attended a Christian and Missionary Alliance church for the very practical reason that it was the shortest walk from campus. The minister was a man that we all called Pastor Tribble, and he preached on tithing for several weeks one fall, three or four in a row. It was probably part of their stewardship campaign. I do not remember much or most of the content of those sermons, but I do remember that he preached from this Malachi passage that we read, and which we will come back to in a moment. But I do remember from those sermons the core ideas that began to shape my life and my faith. First, God blesses us with infinitely more than we can ever give back. Whether we give nothing or whether we give everything, God blesses us. Second, the more we give back, both the more God blesses us and the more our eyes are opened to God blessing us. The more we give back, the more God blesses us. And finally, I learned there for the first time that tithing, I grew up Presbyterian. I hadn't heard the word before. Tithing, 10% is the biblical model of being a faithful disciple with our property and our income. That's exactly what God says here in Malachi. Listen to these words. God says, "Bring the full tithe and thus put me to the test." Those are hard words. Put God to the test. "See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down an overflowing blessing." So I firmly committed back in college, as we do when we are young and enthusiastic, I firmly committed to give 10% of my wealth, to tithe, to be a blessing to God's church and God's people, and to receive the blessings that God would pour down upon me. I firmly resolved to tithe. And then I promptly put it aside, and I did not achieve it for something like the better part of 20 more years. My reasons for not tithing were much the same as everybody else's. Money is too tight. You can make up this list as easy as I can, because my reasons are the same as yours. Money is too tight. Family has to come first. I have to pay all these bills. I'll give more next year, and that's a promise I always kept. I'll give more next year, and on and on. I always knew I had the capability of doing better. I heard the stories and remembered them of the folks that tithed and received blessings and abundance that they could not have expected. We heard one of them last week. Somewhere in my early 40s, I decided, well, it's now or it's never. So I more or less doubled my offering to the church I was serving at that time, but it still wasn't a tithe. And I committed to raise my giving by 10% each year until I reached a tithe. It took me, I think, 4 or 5 more years. And I can tell you that in the years that I have been tithing, I have been blessed far more than I ever could have expected or hoped for. And I can also tell you that I have never missed or regretted one penny of what I have given back to God. There were months when I looked at my bills and my checking account and everything else, and I said, I can't afford to tithe this month. I'll give half the tithe. And every time that happened to me, I simply said to myself, no, God provides. And I wrote the whole amount out, and lo and behold, God provided every time. And that's because of an interesting thing that we discover about exercise. And I'll start with physical exercise here. If we work out on a regular schedule, say 3 times a week in the gym, or if we walk every single day, or if we swim on a regular schedule several times a week, and most important of all, if we stay with it over a period of time and not drop it after the first 2 weeks or the first month, if we do all this, we are going to lose weight. Now, this happens for 2 reasons, and the reason you think is the less important one. It happens because, yes, you're burning calories. Yes, we are. But that's the second most important reason we lose weight when we exercise regularly. Regular exercise, and we've all experienced this if we've done it, regular exercise resets our metabolism, and we don't feel like eating so much. Simplest thing, exercise lowers your appetite. Tithing is a spiritual exercise that resets our spiritual metabolism. My appetite for stuff, for the stuff I can buy, is lower because I tithe. My tithe could pay for a big fancy car easily, but I don't want one. I really don't. I'm happy with my little shoebox out in the parking lot. Sometimes I wish it had a little more space for hauling stuff, but that's what friends' cars are for when I need it. I'm happy with that little shoebox. My tithe could pay for more house or fancier vacations, but I don't feel a burning need for those things. God has provided everything that I need for my life. God has blessed and blessed and blessed me with gifts and grace and beauty. Listen again to what God says, because God is saying this to you and to every one of us this morning. Bring the full tithe and thus put me to the test. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down an overflowing blessing. Now, as far as I know, I've never consciously used this as putting God to the test, but I do know with absolute certainty that God has opened the windows of heaven for me and poured down an overflowing blessing. And my most recent example of this is that God brought me safely through the end of my marriage, beginning about 6 years ago. This was an ending that, when this ending started, I truly thought that I was not going to survive. But God gave me the gift of music and dance and friendships to fill that horrible empty place in my life. And God brought me here during that time, here to a church that I love with all my heart, so that you and I can journey together and learn together and share our joys and sorrows together. God did not provide those things for me because I tithe. No. God provides and God blesses because that's who God is. My tithing is a thank you to God for all this, and my tithing is a spiritual exercise that opens my eyes to how rich I truly am by God's grace. Put me to the test, God tells us. One of my oldest friends is now serving a church in Florida. He told me this story, I think 15 years ago, of a program his church ran called the 30-Day Tithing Challenge. That's a very simple idea. For those who are not sure about tithing yet, who don't feel they can commit, then do exactly what God tells us here and put God to the test. In this program, sign up to tithe for 30 days, 1 month, and they had a form to fill out. The church would hold that money in escrow for them, and if God did not return blessing upon them during that 30 days, they could have the full offering back. When my friend told me this story 15 years ago, he'd already been doing it for 10 years, and in all that time, only one person out of over 100 had ever asked for their offering back, and scores of people became tithers. God poured down overflowing blessings upon all those disciples. Now, your stewardship committee, all two of us, will probably bring the 30-day tithing challenge to you next Lent as a lead-in to next year's stewardship campaign. That's the rough plans right now. But you don't have to wait that long. Put God to the test. Tithe for 1 month, 30 days. Put God to the test exactly as God tells us to, and see if God does not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down overflowing blessings. So Cindy gave her pastor her last jar of pickles and received double in return. She also gave to all of us a perfect little story that we can never forget, and she gave to me a gift that'll be around for all of my life, and that's a reminder that God blesses our giving in ways that we don't expect and can't predict. God is in the business of blessing God's children. That's who God is. That's what God does. And so just one more time with our beautiful verse from Malachi, and then this sermon is over. Bring the full tithe, God says, and thus put me to the test. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down an overflowing blessings. Friends, we say, and here it is right here, show me and I will trust you. But our God says, trust me and I will show you. I don't know whose hand that is, and that's one of the things I love about that picture. Is that our hand, or is that God's hand? For me, I see God's hand. Trust me, and I will show you. Walk with me, and walk with each other this season as we learn to trust God more. Let's pray. Loving God, we are challenged, we are scared, we are inspired, we are worried, we are hopeful. But through all this, Lord God, give us the grace to trust you more. As the man said in Luke, whose daughter was being healed, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Help us in our belief and our unbelief, Lord God, to trust you more. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray together. Amen.